Chapter 19. Or how Strasbourg itself, in its magnificent old Gothic cathedral, and its ancient houses with their peaked roofs and gables, made a little gallery of quaint and interesting views, or how a crowd was gathered inside the cathedral at noon, to see the famous mechanical clock in motion, striking 12. How, when it struck 12, a whole army of puppets went through many ingenious evolutions, and, among them, a huge puppet cock, perched on the top, crowed 12 times, loud and clear. Or how it was wonderful, to see this cock at great pains to clap its wings, and strain its throat, but obviously having no connection, whatever with its own voice, which was deep within the clock, a long way down. Or how the road to Paris was one sea of mud, and thence to the coast, a little better for a hard frost. Or how the cliffs of Dover were a pleasant sight, and England was so wonderfully neat though dark, and lacking color on a winter's day, it must be conceded. Or how, a few days afterwards, it was cool, recrossing the Channel, with ice upon the decks, and snow lying pretty deep in France. Or how the malpost scrambled through the snow, headlong, drawn in the hilly parts by any number of stout horses at a canter, or how there were, outside the post office yard in Paris, before daybreak, extraordinary adventurers in heaps of rags, groping in the snowy streets with little rakes, in search of odds and ends. Or how, between Paris and Marseilles, the snow being then exceeding deep, a thaw came on, and the mail waited, rather than rolled for the next 300 miles or so, breaking springs on Sunday nights, and putting out its two passengers, to warm and refresh themselves pending the repairs, in miserable billiard rooms, where hairy company, collected about stoves, were playing cards, the carts being very like themselves extremely limp and dirty. Or how there was detention at Marseille from stress of weather, and steamers were advertised to go, which did not go, or how the good steam packet Charlemagne at length put out, and met such weather, that now she threatened to run into Toulon, and now into Nice, but, the wind moderating, did neither, but ran on into Genoa harbor instead, where the familiar bells rang sweetly in my ear. Or how there was a traveling party on board, of whom one member was very ill in the cabin next to mine, and being ill was cross, and therefore declined to give up the dictionary, which he kept under his pillow, thereby obliging his companions, to come down to him, constantly, to ask what was the Italian for a lump of sugar, a glass of brandy and water, what's a clock, and so forth, which he always insisted on looking out, with his own seasick eyes, declining to entrust the book to any man alive. Like Romeo, I might have told you, in detail, all this and something more, but to as little purpose, were I not deterred by the remembrance, that my business is with Italy. Therefore, like Grumio's story, it shall die in oblivion. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.